Good afternoon. Today is Monday, December the 30th, 364th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, proud Eureka citizen, Rob Arkley.
Hey, hey Bri.
How you doing?
Well, I'm glad to say goodbye to 2013.
Yeah, I'm not going to be shedding too many tears, I don't think. And I think 14 might be okay.
I think 14's going to be a good
one. We'll see. See, your scope is a little different than mine because you've got the continental U.S.
Yeah.
I've got the continental three counties. Well, it's a little bit different, but we'll talk about that one, too.
Look forward to it.
All right. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about Washington and the state of the state.
I look forward to it.
When we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley, but before we do our quote this show.
By the Reverend Billy Graham, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened.
Billy Graham said that?
Yeah.
I thought it was like Robert E. Lee or something along those lines.
Billy Graham.
Really?
Yeah.
You say that like you were there.
I was not, but I happen to like the quote.
Have you met him?
No, I have not.
Neither have I. He seems like he would be an interesting individual.
Feels like a remarkable person.
Yeah.
Really does.
I think a lot of those, the higher echelons in the religious communities, there's something there.
There's a lot there.
Even if it's not our faith, somebody else's faith. I think there's still something there.
Well, this Holy Father has something there in the Catholic Church, and he's shaking things up and making us all uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think 14 will be more of that.
Well, I think so, too. I think so, too.
When you think of Washington, D.C., not this president, the last president, the former president, or the future president, do you think of a functional house? Do you think of a family that's kind of always squabbling with one another? I mean, it's tough for me to read some of the books of past and try to say, well, if they were in America today, if they were in Washington today, Abe Lincoln would still be torn apart worse because of the internet, because of all the different media outlets. Who would survive? Who could do what they did before in the environment of what is today? I don't know if any of them could.
I think politicians evolve, issues evolve. I do believe the founders created a system that was designed for gridlock. This has always been a fairly evenly divided country, and it shows that way. You don't see a party normally dominate for a long period of time. So I'm discouraged with what the Senate just did, the Democrat Senate, where they took away the – effectively eliminated filibuster.
Now, that's all a constitutional issue.
Well, it is a precedent issue. It's constitutional, right, what they did. It just is a breaking of 225 years of precedent.
I would imagine there's lots of others that are out there that could also qualify if somebody decided to pull those triggers also. Do you think that was healthy?
No, I do not. And let me ask you, how do you put the genie back in the bottle? How do you not play the game of you've done it, we'll do it too? I mean, I don't even know how you equalize the scorecard without having damaged yourself.
Yeah, once the precedent has been set.
That's correct.
I think the quick knee-jerk would say, well, we have statesmen rather than politicians elected. However, it's been done. So now no one is having to carve out a new trail in the virgin territory. This has been done.
And each time you see people doing things that it builds on itself. And the fact is there are no rules in the Senate. The majority is now in charge, and they'll just rule by simple majority, and off you go.
You can see that in American society and culture now, though, also. You know, things that used to be taboo are almost flaunted. Whether you could be just out of wedlock births.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, you're almost the minority if you are married.
It's true. And it's turning into kind of a middle class practice rather than a societal practice.
Yeah, it's a no biggie.
But no, we play by the rules. And I think that's what the middle class, the wonderful part about the middle class is they do play by the rules in hopes to do better.
So how do we inject this middle class mentality?
How do we become more virtuous?
Back into the genie that just was escaped.
How do we become more virtuous is really what you're saying. And because I do believe marriage is a virtuous institution. And I wish I knew. It's just such a hard problem. I mean, certainly the poverty statistics, a child born out of wedlock is what, 80% more likely to live in poverty than a child born in wedlock. There are reasons for these things like marriages that go back thousands of years.
You're starting to sound like Medved a little bit.
I do.
Not as eloquent, I might add, but...
Really? I think he's magnificent.
I enjoy listening to his shows, whether they're the weekend shows that we have on KINS or the weekdays on KW, where there are events so that it's a tape and he brings out the historical tapes, like Christmas. That, to me, was a kick in the pants, hearing about the history of Christmas.
Yeah.
And St. Nicholas. And just all of those, yeah.
And you've heard him do, is it Passover? Is that Easter when you clean off get every little grain of dirt and dust and that?
Yeah,
And he's gone through that.
And the 4th of July, explaining some of the various fights and battles and stuff. I mean, that stuff is really cool.
No, he's really good. And Rush has kind of followed on his model.
Kind of.
On his book.
The book. Gotcha. Yeah,
quite educational. Yeah.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information, Times 319. We'll be back with more from Rob Arkley.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, one of the concepts that I think is really intriguing when we look at Washington and is the great experiment working. I heard something, read something a couple months ago now. It was talking about Lyndon Johnson. It was probably a precursor to the Kennedy assassination 50th anniversary. And they were talking about the Great Society and how much money has been spent in welfare for the American underclass to be
$8 trillion.
Bring him up. Well, the comment made was the same percentage of population today is in poverty that was when Johnson started it in 64 and 65.
It's true.
So it has been a universal neutral. So
expensive neutral.
Yeah. So at what point do you say, you know, it's not doing the job. Let's do something else.
I think we have a society where it pays to vote And people just aren't going to do that. There's a lot of power for a whole swath of liberal inner city representatives that are not going to vote against their interests that way.
But a 50-year experiment that has not resulted.
Well,
actually, 60 years, sorry.
Yeah, but you see, you and I see a failure. It's 50.
Well, not seeing traction. You know, there's not a growth. There's not something that you can...
No, it hasn't been a demonstrable improvement. And their argument back will be, can you imagine how terrible it would have been if we didn't have it?
Probably the same.
Well, you and I come down to the same place. But there's a conflict of visions, and I think there always has been a conflict of visions.
Well, what I'm wondering is, what if 10% was carved off and applied to mental health? Whether it's for returning veterans or just those that, for whatever way, need it and do something structurally. Because I don't think with the family falling apart, I don't think you rely on family. The churches certainly aren't professionally trained and capable of handling a lot of these things. Setting up a system to handle some of those who are just, you know, wards of the state or mental wards of the state, and see if there's something that can be done for those folks, help them out, and also stop some of the stuff that we see on the streets throughout the country.
Well, now we're getting dangerously close to the Betty Chin territory.
Well, I just...
But
I'm with you
on all this stuff. What we're doing isn't working, so let's do something different. But isn't there an entire swath of society that doesn't want to change?
Not a problem. You don't change? No problem. No ongoing commitment to allow you to live at the standard that you've become accustomed to.
Well,
I mean, you can do whatever you want. That's okay. That's part of the American spirit.
You and I have a libertarian streak a mile wide across our backs. Not everyone agrees with us. It's shocking. But I agree with your solutions. But I don't know that a lot of people want solutions.
Not enough probably to step up and take a vote on the record.
Not enough
to be able to do
not enough to almost guarantee you're being unelected.
So looking at Washington with what is there today, the types of individuals, the dynamics that are in place, the lobbying efforts that are there. Anything going to change in 10 years, 15 years, 25 years?
Another day longer and deeper in debt? I don't know what we will look like in 25 years. It's a wonderful question. I'm encouraged by this younger generation. They're quite entrepreneurial and they're quite pragmatic economically. They do not care about some of the things we care about. They really don't. I don't think they care about marriage, gay versus not gay. I don't think they care about...
Yeah, I think it's a non-starter.
It's a total non-starter. And so I don't think they care about race. They don't care about much of anything that on the social front. But economically, they're pretty good. So I look for improvements there.
Do they have the wherewithal, parentheses, the voting block, to have that impact?
Well,
that's... They're voting for grandma and grandpa to be their representative, and I don't know too many grandmas and grandpas that had the same wavelength as the grandchildren.
You're right. But historically, when you counted on the youth vote, it was just like never. I mean, you can hope for it all you want. Obama's the first one who actually delivered that group. And they elected him. So I'm kind of thinking that they're going to be more interesting to deal with than heretofore youth like you and I may have been were.
I wonder if we're going to see a change and there's going to be a lot younger people running for political office. Fed up, okay, but now I'm going to help be part of the change.
Well, that would be encouraging, especially if they didn't take salaries and health benefits and retirement. If they
just came in with a different perspective.
Well, they're going to have a
part of it.
What if they come in with a view of public service, not service the public?
Well, that would be frightening.
It'd be great.
For the other members that are there.
Yeah.
That was called a dramatic pause.
That was a dramatic pause, and you almost...
DP.
You hooked me.
Yeah, okay, fine. KINS, catch and release. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
A decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. This afternoon, spending a little bit of time, I guess, pontificating.
Pontificating and more or less agreeing on lots of things.
We're certainly not
solving anything.
No, no. With the focus primarily on Washington and the federal government. Rob, as you're looking at some of the challenges, we've had some discussions locally with the American with Disabilities Act. I think that there's pretty much uniform agreement that equal access is a laudable goal and that everybody's for that. How you get there, the implementation of it. Okay, now we're starting to get into the excitement. At Washington, air quality, water quality, you know, all the stuff under the EPA, you got fish and wildlife, all those. Do you sense that there's a focus on, or an opportunity for the focus, rather, to be on the end result, accomplishing the goal, and then moving on? Or is it more regulatory? Let's build that, let's put iron plates on it, and we don't adjust. And if we've achieved the goal, that doesn't matter. We continue to enforce as if we hadn't.
Bri, it's just layering upon layering upon layering. It's really, really astonishing. When do you know? Can you identify any regulation in your business that's been revoked?
Not lately.
It is brutal.
And I know the financial services and financial industry, you guys are getting...
Oh, we just got...
More and more.
No, we just got another big fine for three little mistakes and $500,000 fine. And I am genuinely running the numbers with our accounting people and saying, look, do we really want to do some of this servicing? Because
just the cost benefit.
It's risk. It's all risk. Yeah. I mean, if they can, for three transactions out of, let's say, there were 3,000-4,000 loans. So we did probably 100,000 different transactions on this pool for the year. They found three mistakes and charged us $500,000 fine. Well, that's probably not a business. That's to say that's high tolerance doesn't paint the picture. We're not talking about nuclear radiation that can...
Nobody died.
No one died. And so I'm really...
So is there a punitive, a huge punitive associated with that? Or is it just per event, it's a dollar and that's it? And that's it?
It was just kind of, this is the number. Pay it.
Oh, look, creative financing then.
There was no creative financing.
End.
Yeah.
Or creative charging.
Yeah. I just couldn't imagine. And I said, you know, are you looking at a percentage of capital? There's no correlative. And there wasn't even an appeal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm sitting around saying, is this a fun business to be in? Or should I really morph back to just buying loans and not service for others and do that? Because, you know, gee, it adds up.
It doesn't take long to add up.
No.
To numbers that go out of my league.
Yeah. It was a chop in the... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you can say that because you are a woodsman. You know,
yes,
you know the axe and you know how to chop.
Yeah, yes, okay. I do. I don't want to. Anyway, all right. I'm not gonna go anywhere.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. But it would seem to me that with some of the successes that have occurred, air quality. Okay, nobody is questioning that the air today is better than it would have been without some of the regulations in place. Got it. But when you look globally, as many are wont to do, you look and you see who's got the clean air and who's not. How much of the burden do we have of cleaning up everybody else's mess?
A big one.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
You know, in the water and land use.
There's not a problem going that's not ours.
So at what point do you say, success?
They don't.
Congratulations. Now let's take those resources and apply them to another area that may need a little bit more of extra attention. Again, you would think that that would be a logical sequence.
No,
if everything's being coordinated.
I'll never forget talking to a well-known regulator in the state saying, let's pick Humboldt Bay, identify all the potential toxic sites, and let's get a 30-year plan together to clean every last one of them up, one a year, one every 2 years. Let's get the grant funding, and let's have a green Humboldt Bay. Well, they want a green Humboldt Bay, but by God, they didn't want to fix the problem. And so...
So not all properties would have been included in this?
No, he just didn't think that that was a desired course of action. I said, well, the fact of the matter is we can declare victory. We've cleaned it up. And he looked me straight in the eye and said, you can never declare victory on the environment. I went, You can declare victory on a toxic cleanup. You can do it. So you understand, you and I are trying to reach solutions.
Well, and what is the wisest investment of a dollar? Where are you going to get your biggest bang for your buck, return for your dollar, whatever phraseology you want? And if it's getting that 1/10 of 1/10 of 1/10%, would it be better to do something else? I read something, the Frito-Lay, corn chips?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, every once in a while you get one that's kind of smoked on the edges?
Yeah.
Okay. They were doing the research, and they figured out that 1/10 of 1/10 of 1% failure was about as close as they could go, because it starts to become exponentially more expensive,
right,
to cut that in half. That's where they cut it. If at that point, the Postal Service was used as an analogy. And
speaking of a business that's been vaporized.
Yeah, they were at 97% efficiency. And the difference between the two was just so huge. It was a couple billion items lost a year. Okay. So at some point you go, okay, that's as far as we can go.
Right.
I would think the same could apply to government regulatory. Say, okay, we've got as far to chase it beyond
that's
this.
That's a great way to legislate.
Doesn't make sense. Let's move it on to something else.
No, but what we have to do is part of our as part of our regulation and part of our enacting laws is to say, this is the law, and when it reaches this level, it sunsets automatically and you can't extend it. That's a great idea.
Target it, whether it's with time or solving.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't matter.
You have to be able to measure. That's the biggest problem with regulations now, is they're really not necessarily able to measure.
Or they measure more today than what they were able to when the legislation came out. You're playing with parts per trillion out of the balloon track?
Yes.
And I can't count to a trillion, let alone,
I know.
let alone detect it.
And we have more copper coming out of our tap water than we had down on the balloon track.
So at some point, you know, you would think that there would be a balance if, in fact, that's what the goal was.
That's not the goal. I think most regulations are to tell you what to do, not the goals of regulations are to regulate. They're not to resolve, which is why I will have a better quote tomorrow.
You're going to tease the next show. Jeez Louise. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We'll be back with more from Rob Arkley.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, as we consider some of the different challenges that are out there, that the Fed, and certainly not to denigrate, there are a lot of challenges that the federal government has got. buddy of mine has got his kid's been in the National Guard. All of a sudden, they're not going to qualify for unemployment, disability.
You go, what?
Just some move that somebody made up the ladder that doesn't seem to get a lot of traction or a lot of play, but it happens. Is it going to have to be the kids, the millennials, I guess the Ys, moving in with a different attitude and a different perspective to really shake things up and to change things around a little bit and to stop the momentum that us and our folks' generations put into play? Because what I see today is just a natural outcome of what was happening in the 60s.
Of course. It's playing out. And
After Ike.
Yeah.
After the infrastructure was put in with the highways and stuff, then we start moving into social. And I think all of this is kind of a...
inevitable.
Ongoing, with that stuff.
Well, I got to tell you, I have a close friend in Omaha who believes that we're just in big trouble. And I happen to think that the problems are so big, the economic problems are so big, they're going to have to be dealt with. And no, it isn't. This redistribution of wealth theory by Obama is not going to work. It won't happen.
So what is going to be the triggering point or tipping point or whatever phrase?
Might be Obamacare. That's a bad one. That's really rolling.
Does it really have a chance to be the turning point?
Yeah, because you know what it shows and demonstrates so unambiguously? Government can't do anything right. I mean, how many of us walking away feel like they actually handle things well? They don't.
But does it have that kind of legacy, that kind of impact or reverberations through the system to go, wait a minute, and put everything upside down?
Screw to roll out. Costs going to go up exponentially. The fines are going to go up exponentially.
But now those haven't hit yet. That's going to all hit after the election of 14.
Don't worry about the election. The election will take care of itself. More importantly, will this drive us into a single payer? No, because it's easy to message. They couldn't get a website. They tripled your costs, and now they want a single payer? Sheer. And because it is going to lead naturally.
Was that sheer, like sheep?
Sure. Sheer. Yeah, I like that. We're getting fleeced, all right.
Yeah. Every once in a while, even when you say it, you don't recognize you say it. So somebody has to point these things out for you.
And I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, you are wearing wool, so what the heck? So you sound somewhat optimistic about the future about Washington and federal government.
Well, I think it's supposed to be – I think gridlock is what was designed. And that's why I didn't like the change in the rules of the Senate, because someday the Republicans are going to control it. Will it be 2014? I don't know. But someday, inevitably, they'll control it. And then are the Democrats – people are people. They do – tit for tat is real.
Well, hopefully we can say the same thing about Washington, too, that it's real.
Yeah.
Time will tell on that one, won't it?
Yeah. 2014 ought to be better.
Good deal. That's what we'll be talking about tomorrow.
All right, buddy.
Part due.
Due.
Yes, tomorrow. We've been talking shop with Rob Arkley. Join us then.
Happy New Year.